Okay, you're recording.
Okay, good morning, folks. It is January 18th, about 8:36, and we're going to call this meeting to order. Please remember to turn off or mute your electronic devices. Please note that we have our Attorney General Mark Harris present. And if Dr. James could do the roll call.
Dr. Byrne? Ms. Greger?
Here.
Ms. Frost?
Here.
Dr. James is here. Mr. Lopey?
Here.
Dr. Nosley? Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Dr. Thompson?
Here.
Dr. Wright?
Here.
I have quorum.
Okay. All right, we are going to start with the initial investigative reviews. Number 7-2312 in regards to Andrew Linus, DBM. Tracy, you can read the summary.
Sure, and this case is related to case 2313 and 2314. 2313 is Elizabeth Stewart and 2314 is Christopher Maharski. And the summary is the same.
Okay.
And the complainant is the same. So case 2312, complainant is Ilana Jorgensen, and the respondent is Andrew Linus, DVM. On December 23rd, 2021, Lucky, a 12-plus-year-old male shepherd mix, was presented to Dr. Linus on referral for a surgical consult for an abdominal mass. Due to COVID protocols, Dr. Linus spoke with complainant over the phone to discuss differentials, diagnostics, hospitalization, surgery, and possible complications. An estimate was provided, which complainant approved and left a deposit. Diagnostics were performed and a blood transfusion was started. The following day, the dog was transferred to the surgical department. Dr. Stewart evaluated the dog, reviewed the estimate, and contacted complainant to discuss the case. She went over her concerns and risk factors of surgery, including the location of the mass and critical structures. Complainant agreed to move forward with the surgery. The dog remained hospitalized for supportive care and was discharged on December 29, 2021. On January 1, 2022, the dog was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that no possible violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, Mr. Stoll, you are here. Are you monitoring or speaking?
Monitoring only.
Okay, and it looks like we have the complainant, Ms. Jorgensen. Would you like to come forward and speak?
Sure.
Okay, come on forward.
Your comment, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right. That's what we're here for. Please remember we have reviewed your materials that were submitted, but anything you would like to share with us, I can give you up to 5 minutes to speak.
Okay.
If you'll just state your name for the record.
My name is Ilona Jorgensen, and I'm sorry for the loss of my boy. I've lost multiple pets over the years, but not anything ever to this extent, and just want to share the lack of integrity that I experienced, and I've had vets from, I explained the last time I was here that I even took my dog to a Dr. Levesque who could get into St. Joe's and had an MRI. So as far as expenses go, I spared no expense. What I'm concerned with is in this particular case, because of the so-called COVID protocols, which they're a California-owned company, and they were experiencing the same protocols as California when we in Arizona were not. If Dr. Linus stood in front of me right now, I couldn't tell you what he looked like or what his voice sounded like or anything. I have no idea. I tried vehemently to know to bring to fruition, to get his medical records to find out. I felt very foolish the last time telling you here that he was given a transfusion and I wasn't aware of the time, and it was well after the fact that we had gone and, you know, I had thought he'd already transfused him. So because of their lack of transparency for me, the consumer or the client or whatever you refer to me as, that's how we ended up here. I've multiple times went down to the facility to talk to Ms. Vasquez, who's the director of something down there, Catherine Vasquez. I made a call on Tracy's request before I even filed this complaint to ask Dr. Minarski to deliver a copy of Lucky's medical record so I could see what happened and you know, get an idea of what, you know, this was, ended up to be almost $12,000, okay? So on December 6th, when we were all here, and there were different folks, and thank you for letting me take up your time. On December the 6th, Tracy and I had discussed after the hearing that I wanted a copy of this medical report, and that's basically all I've ever wanted from the beginning, and it was never provided for me. She sent Dr. Minarski an email on December the 6th, and he responded with, okay, I'm gonna have Catherine get on it. Today is January 18th. My Lucky was euthanized on January 1st of 2022. We're over a year and several weeks, and I can't seem to obtain this information. Today I was told by Tracy, well, it was a big thick email and they, you know, they sent it, and then did you check your spam? You know, I am just appalled at the lack of, again, transparency. Why can't I get this information? I've multiple calls to Mr. Minarski, Dr. Minarski, multiple calls. I even went down to the facility for Ms. Vasquez. Oh, she's on vacation. Oh, she's out of the office. Oh, she'll call you when she gets back. It's just been stonewalling, and I really don't, I'm sure you've all reviewed his medical history and found that maybe there's, you know, in your professional opinion, that nothing was out of, you know, or the ordinary. But I can't even be the judge of that because I don't have that information still yet on the 18th of January, 2023. So I hope I didn't take up too much of your time. I'm sorry, but when this is a renowned institution, VCA, they've been in the Valley for years. They're owned by, heck, you're selling cookies today. They're owned by M&M Mars. I mean, I even went down that road trying to get some information. I talked to people at their corporate headquarters in California trying to get the information out of these folks. So, you know, I guess maybe I'm just a consumer and I don't have the authority that you all have, but something just wasn't right. And, you know, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So the first case we are discussing is Dr. Lanis. And then the third one, Ms. Jorgensen, will discuss is Dr. Minarski.
Did you want you to stay there?
You don't have to. If you want to, you're allowed to speak on each case, but if you don't have anything more.
Okay,
but
well, thank you.
Okay, you can just stay there.
I'll try to be brief because your time's valuable.
So we're going to discuss, though, case 2312 first, and then as we go down, you know, next to Dr. Stewart, if you want to talk about anything pertaining to her and her case, then we can do that.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Okay. I'm so blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. And then, Dr. James, you are the lead on these cases.
So, looking at 2312, you know, this was the initial surgical consult where it appears that the condition was discussed, the recommended surgery, the stabilization for surgery, and there was a little bit of confusion around the blood transfusion, but ultimately that, you know, from the veterinary side appears to be part of the stabilization of this dog. And I don't see anything in this case that jumps out at me as this is a below the standard of care or a violation of our practice act.
Yeah, I don't see anything in the medical records that way. I'm just concerned. I just have questions around what records were released and what weren't. That's my big question right here. Because like I said, medically, I don't see anything wrong here. But Mr. Harris, am I allowed to ask a question right now?
Through the
okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So what have you received in regards to medical records?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, I don't want nothing. I mean, have you gotten anything at all? Have you gotten any kind of email, any kind of communication? I want specifics on what have you gotten.
In the very beginning,
yeah.
I got emails on my phone about, you know, charges that were going to be charged.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I had to call my credit card company and dispute the charges in order to get them to send a copy, and it's just maybe 7 pages. It's not like a medical record would be. And you know, it wasn't to the my eyes, I couldn't really tell what happened. I do know that he was admitted on the 23rd. The following Monday, because they only anticipated his stay to be 4 days, on Monday when I went to go see him, they refused to release him. And each and every day, I'm understanding that the clock is ticking, and so's the, you know, the dollar amount is incrementally going larger.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a complicated case that way, but I'm just wearing records, because there's records. A statute that you
I have no records.
You've
none.
Never gotten anything on email and spam? You've never checked their
no.
junk email?
No.
Nothing that shows, like, what your pet weighs and what their, you know, their breed, like, there was nothing like
no.
that just kind of lists off your general complaint or nothing.
No.
So nothing in that 7 pages you said you received didn't have anything.
Well, I'd have to look back into that. I didn't bring my file today because I basically thought this was done and, you know, foreclosed on, and y'all have made your decision. But I just wanted to, on Mr. Lucky's behalf, that's my pet,
right.
just advocate for the fact that
okay.
there was just a lack of transparency. You know, why couldn't they have just given me his medical record when I was in there? That, you know, shortly a month or two after the surgery.
Okay, and then just so you know, the previous group that you sat in front of, that was our investigative committee, so they're the first body that takes a look. We're separate, we're the board. So we both make,
okay.
you know, our own, can come to our own conclusions. Just
this
so
is
you're
my
aware.
First experience,
but, okay.
and, to be
it's
honest
process.
With you. And
I'm, yeah. That's good. So does anybody else have any questions for Ms. Jorgensen regarding case 2312? So, did you want to make a motion with regards to this particular case?
I mean, I have the same concerns regarding medical records, but I feel like that kind of falls more on the responsible bit, which is 2314,
right.
not 2312.
Okay.
So, in 23...
We've had cases before, though, where records haven't been provided, and it wasn't necessarily the responsible veterinarian. So, I remember having conversations, you know, about... how many of you have actually sent medical records yourself? And y'all are like, no, our staff does. Well, that veterinarian was still held responsible for the records not being provided in a timely manner. Whether or not the veterinarian did or didn't know, I mean, they are the veterinarian. They're responsible for the records, right? So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious, like, is this something that we move on and we get proof that they've sent the records in a timely manner? Because I mean, things can happen, right? Whenever you send records, email blockers are a really very real thing. Even if you, and if you're talking about a corporation, I mean, trying to send an email sometimes out of a corporate's firewall can be challenging, right? Because they think you're sending proprietary information. They may have size limits or something,
right?
And so, if they say they showed it, but they can't prove that it went out because of their blockers, again, is that still follow the veterinarian. We've found it has before, right? Even if it's outside of your hands, you know, it's still your responsibility. So
yeah.
I don't know. I feel
this
like there's probably going to be more questions.
Yeah. This just wasn't the doctor that even finished the case. Like if you...
But again,
this wasn't the doctor. This doctor was likely not the doctor that got the request for the medical records.
I guess if it's a Victoria question, I could look
but
up the statute. That statute's under the license portion, not the premise license portion, right?
It's in the rules, and it is
for
veterinarian.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so
that's the thing.
Individual.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if
yeah.
you're not the veterinarian that was the last one to touch the case when they're asking for records. Isn't it every veterinarian that has those records responsibility according to our rules? And I'm not saying
way.
I agree with it.
Yeah,
I think it depends
that
on who the
who the call comes into and who they ask to approve, because in
well, they're never going to ask the veterinarian.
Oh, they ask.
In practice, I always
approve records going out. I look at them before they go out, and make sure that they're set.
Maybe in your practice.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be argued either way.
I think honestly is where it is. I think it's determining where the records sent, what records were sent, and I think that's the kind of the question. I guess I think maybe the question here would be: do you dismiss like two and hold one open? Do you hold all three open until we get a receipt of like when the emails were sent? Because that's my big concern. Like I said, medically, this is just an unfortunate case. I don't see anything medically that went wrong. But if there's a records violation, I'd need to see an email timestamp saying when was this sent and what was actually sent to verify that. I mean, honestly, VCA is pretty good about sending records. I've gotten a lot of records from them before, but that's to the hospital. I don't know about the clients, and I would assume they send them off. I mean, there's no reason to hide them. I don't see anything in here that would be needed to be hidden type thing. So my guess is this is more of a clerical issue or that it is hidden somewhere in some kind of spam blocker or something that it's there. Maybe it was rejected based on size, but I'm still curious of if the client hasn't gotten this, and the vets aren't here to defend saying it was sent, this is the time it was sent. We don't have, we just have questions that there's no answers to right now.
But we have a medical record in front of us, and there's no.
We do.
Right, but there's no notation in the medical
that
record.
The records are sent.
The records
true,
are sent.
Yeah, true.
I mean,
good point.
And on the flip side, there's no notation that the records were requested either.
Yeah. Right.
So, this is how it would have been in their system to know whether or not they sent them.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah.
So that's my big thing is, like I said, I don't see a medical violation. I don't see a problem with medicine, but if there is a problem with the records, I mean, that is under statute, and that's something I think we need to look at.
And it's probably not something we can resolve without the veterinarians being able to address that one way or the other,
yeah.
Right? They don't have to physically be here, but there needs to be more follow-up.
Yeah, if I just had to reset, because everything's in the sent folders. I mean, there should be a record there. If there's not,
then it's his against hers,
and then it's
some of the medical records they don't submit the communication log though with as part of the medical record.
Well, that's the thing. We can get more information, right? Again, we've had this situation come up before, and I get it's like, well, but this veterinarian wasn't the last one to touch it. Well, they didn't get the request. Well, it doesn't matter. We've decided that before. It doesn't matter. They're still the veterinarian. So even if you have a hierarchy of 12 people before you, it's still
what about
still your license.
In this case, it sounds like Ms. Jorgensen was reaching out specifically because she kept mentioning
multiple times
Minarski's
multiple
name. In that specific instance, then, that person is aware. I'm just trying to figure out whether we're continuing all three or whether...
Sure.
And again, maybe it's not fair to necessarily just hold him, but it sounds like he was the one, whether he was made aware or not.
Right.
Which one is the medical records statute? Now, Chair?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Did you make that request, Ms. Jorgensen, of any other veterinarian besides Dr. Minarski?
It was only on Ms. Tracy's request when I first reached out because I had no other options as to, believe it or not, it was let Joe know three on your side that told me to contact you guys. I had no idea, so let Joe know. And I reached out to Tracy. Tracy said, first step you want to do is call Dr. Minarski and request your medical records. I did that. He never responded back to me, never a call, never anything. That's when I proceeded with opening up this
inquiry. Did you make that request of Dr. Linnaeus or Dr. Stewart?
Not of Dr. Linnaeus, no, because I never had any contact with him other than in the beginning, and Dr. Stewart was unavailable. I believe she was out on maternity leave. I made the request to Ms. Catherine Vasquez. I made the request to staff members. I might have even made a request to Dr. Sinha. How many times do you have to ask for something before somebody actually treats you with respect and dignity and says, gee whiz, you're entitled to this, and according to your assumptions, it's the law.
Right.
I had no idea.
So in that case, so again, then when you're talking about reaching out to staff, who are then not getting it. Again, I'm just trying to, does that fall on the responsible vet then, more so than, again, Dr. Stewart, who's out on maternity leave, and...
I'm going to stand by my original motion on 2312 that I find no violations of our Practice Act or rules.
Anyone want a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2312. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so one nay. So motion carries. Okay, so now we're going to move on to 2313. This is in regards to Elizabeth Stewart. We have the same summary, so we don't need to reread that. Again, Mr. Stoll is not here for that one. And then again, Ms. Jorgensen, if you have specifically anything in regards to Ms. Stewart that you want to mention, otherwise we're going to go ahead and discuss that case.
No.
Okay.
Thank Great. You.
And again, Dr. James is the lead on that one.
So in 2313, I mean, I think my concern with this is we were dealing with a 12 plus year old dog and doing pretty involved procedures when likely there was something else going on. But I think all of that and my concern was how well was that described to the owner, and it looks like it was. So, I mean, I can't really find any fault here from the veterinarian. I think surgical wise, she did what she thought needed to be done, and so I don't see anything here that falls below our Practice Act at all. So I'd make a motion that we find no violations of our Practice Act or rules.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to dismiss case 2313. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now down to 2314. This one is in regards to Christopher Monarski. Again, the same summary. And I know you've kind of already spoken specifically about Dr. Monarski. So again, if you have anything else that you want to add.
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to share with you that when you say that I was completely informed, I was informed over the phone about a 15-minute call before the surgery began, and I was never told about, I never got any inclination of sepsis or septic shock until we were at the facility and the day he was euthanized. Dr. Sinha came in with a tube which had his blood and something else in there, and she said he was septic, and I said, oh my gosh, that's bad. So prior to that, again, I just feel that there, you know, she mentioned this young, Miss James DBM, said that he's a 12-year-old dog. Well, why wasn't any of that discussed with me? I've been in these situations before where they say, okay, you've got these options, you've got these options, you know, you get to make the decision. I never even entered the facility, okay? Which was really disappointing in the fact that we wanted to say goodbye to our boy at the night that he was having surgery. We couldn't even gain access to the facility. So, you know, you say there's nothing wrong. I say there's a lack of transparency and a lack of just common decency for understanding that this is your beloved pet. And any of you probably have them in your homes. You know, you would like to be as informed as possible, especially considering the amount of money you're spending to try to save this animal's life. I couldn't even get, are you ready for this? I couldn't even get the cancer diagnosis. Any records of the diagnosis when the blood work came back and the, you know, they had to send out the mass or whatever, had no idea that he was going to be cut from, you know, from here to here. That in and of itself would have scared the heck out of me. Well, what do you mean you're cutting him open and then you're going to lay him open like this and then you're going to operate? You know, maybe they need to be more graphic. And moving forward, as a senior citizen, how many people does this happen to where you're told one thing and then you get a bill, you know, X amount of days later, and it's not exactly what, you know, it's even exceeded what their expectations were? How many people qualify for $9,000 instant credit in a parking lot at 10:30 at night? What I'm saying to you is, I hope to God that this doesn't happen to someone else, because it sure as heck has still affected me, and I'm still paying on that bill. So why Dr. Minarski did not give me the courtesy and provide the integrity as the director of that facility to call me back and just say, hey, look, we understand you're grieving, we understand you're this, and we understand you're that. What can we do? How can we help you through this process? We would have never ended up here. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Jorgensen. Okay, Dr. James, you are the lead on this one as well.
So in 2314, I would like to pen this one and get more information on from the clinic on when records were requested of staff, and it sounds like it was multiple times, and when records were actually provided, and if they can show some kind of proof of that, because I think that is a big deal, and I think a lot of what was going on here in this case is, one, you have obviously a very loved pet and one that's dealing with major issues, so there's a lot of emotion. But then on top of that, we have this whole COVID protocol, which we've seen so many cases where the curbside and the COVID protocols caused communication issues, and I feel on both sides badly, because I certainly don't believe that this owner was well informed of what was going on, but yet I have in the medical records that things were discussed with the owner, which I would expect, but then the owner never even gets the medical record. So I feel like in 14 we need to get more information on when these records were requested and when they were sent before we can move forward.
I agree with that, and I'm going to second that, but that was a motion, right? No, that was a pen, so we don't actually have to make a motion, I don't think, yeah. But no, I agree. I don't see anything wrong with the medicine. I mean, unfortunately, coming to a meeting of the minds about how a surgery is actually performed in a surgery report, and it's like, that's not going to be discussed with the client. That's just too much, in my opinion. I mean, talking about how long an incision is, all this kind of stuff beforehand, we're going to take the spleen and move it over here, we're going to pack things off with lap sponges, we're going to put a Balfour retractor in there. No, that's too much. We're not going to go into that kind of detail, and I would never want a veterinarian to do that. That's just a waste of time. This is the procedure we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. This is the outcome we're expecting. Complications are going to happen, and costs are going to go up with complications. We can't predict that stuff. So I don't see anything wrong with the medicine. I would make that flat out clear. My only concern is, were the records actually provided? So that's my only concern here, and that's the only answer I want, is a receipt of when that was sent off, basically, or something saying that, yes, this was sent off. We sent records off, because that's what the statute says, is when records are requested, we need to send those off within 10 days.
And I feel like you clearly have an upset client. Mm-hmm. Somebody should have picked up the phone and called.
Yeah, I mean, communication.
Well, yeah,
not even just the medical records, yeah. But somebody should have picked up the phone and called this owner to try and help them with the closure of what happened, right? And whether, I know the surgeon was on maternity leave, and I know Dr. Linnaeus was likely not even involved at this point, but anyone could have looked at the medical records and picked up the phone and called this owner. And I think that's, I mean, we're hearing it from the owner. That's why we're here, is there was a lack of communication and what was going on. Mm-hmm. And no, I mean, we've had other cases like this where, you know, there were a lot of procedures that were recommended. Certainly the bills were going to get high. I mean, they were, you know, in addition to doing the surgery for the potential cancer, they were doing a neuter on a 12 plus year old dog.
I know, just some of these things.
You know, and like, you start going, how much was of this was communicated? And I think from what we're hearing is it wasn't as well as it could have been, but yet it's documented that it was. So we're in that he said, she said kind of situation, which makes it hard, but I do think the one thing we can hold firm on is, were those records sent?
And I want to say, not only was it neuter, it's a cryptorchid neuter.
Yeah, and I just, abdominal cryptorchid, so. I struggle a little bit with why you would do that at 12 plus years. Yeah. Like,
well, I'm struggling because
in a year from now,
yeah, it's going to turn into cancer.
When the tumor, yeah. Then the question would have been, why didn't you remove them at the time of doing, yeah, an abdominal explore?
But,
so,
but
I mean,
I'm surprised it wasn't cancer at 12 years old, right, already, honestly. A testicle being in the bathroom for 12 years, I'm surprised it's not cancer.
I'm surprised it's not either, but the chances of this dog dying of something else in the interim is probably more likely.
Yeah, well,
so
just take your cancer.
Let's just, I mean,
still,
I guess I would just say is that's
Madam
the
Chair,
kind of stuff.
Can
that
I interject? Can we? I would like to make a motion. So we don't need a motion to pin. I'd like to make a motion to move this to an informal and have this discussion at that informal.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Minarski wasn't involved in the case. So any of the
he's involved in the records and whether
he's
the records got
the
there
records.
Or not.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
But not any
because
of
there
the
is
case.
No issue with the medical. The issue is the records. Did they get there? Did they not get there? He's the one.
Would, I guess that's a Mr. Harris question. Would moving to an informal really change much? Because like I said, personally, I know everybody else has opinions too, but I'm personally concerned about like the time frame of the
records.
Well,
when we find a violation today, we don't have to pin it.
Well, and that I guess.
Because she doesn't have the medical records.
No, well,
it could, or
be,
not,
it could be like a spam folder or something, honestly, and that's not on the fault of the hospital. So that's why I want to receive from when it was sent from the hospital if we can get that. And would
well,
that be best to pen or best to
it.
Informal? What's that?
It's not in the medical record.
No,
they sent it. So
I agree.
The medical
agree.
Record did not happen.
I agree.
But we
that's
don't. That's
point.
Not a statute that they have to document that.
And we don't want to learn or conduct the investigation during the informal hearing. If you have further questions, why don't you... ask for that information, and then once you have that, you can determine what, if anything, what's the next step for the case. Mm-hmm. But you should have all the information before you determine whether or not to schedule an informal.
Okay.
That would be the best practice.
Okay. So, Robin, you...
So I will withdraw.
So, Robin, you had made a motion and you had seconded it.
Well, I think it was just
I didn't make a motion.
I
just wanted to append it.
Oh, gotcha.
Get more information. Do I need to make a motion?
Yeah,
to pen?
If you could just turn that into a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion to pend case 2314 while we ask board staff to see if they can get more information on from the clinic on when the records were requested, to whom, how many times, and when they were actually sent.
And I will still second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second case to pend case 2314. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. So we will be pending that case until next month. Ms. Jorgensen, if you want to join us again for next month's meeting.
Thank you for your time.
Yes.
I'm really sorry we had to come here with this, but it could have been solved.
Sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
Thank you.